with JV Montgomery, also known as Abstract Black, who's a sound artist, multi-instrumentalist, working in improvised and experimental music primarily. And he just released the tape Breathing With Each Ear, Hour 3. Yeah, thank you so much for doing this. And First, if you don't mind, I'd like to start by just reading the, I guess, kind of the liner notes that you've included on Bandcamp. You've written, "This is a creation story of life from sound. Life sustained by listening is a lifeline in the event of extreme deprivation from light and humanity. That is where my deep listening begins, in the deprived environ of a transatlantic slave ship, as the mitochondrial DNA of shelved stowage. Every sound I make is because I am the sustained echo of one of those humans made to traverse the Atlantic on a shelf with a height of 2 feet, 7 inches, like livestock cargo." First, I want to ask, and this might come across as a little bit of a dumb question, was there a specific impetus for recording this tape in particular? Like, there doesn't need to have been a specific impetus. It can also just be obviously part of an ongoing documentation of your experiences and what you witness, but
yeah, you know, I have a practice, a sound practice, that includes experimenting with drones and bell tones. And, you know, this is like a confluence of an idea that has been stewing inside me for a long time, which is, you know, what looking at Earth and the Earth being a resonant bubble of light and sound, and how that material over billions of years makes life. And so what is the extension of the sound at the bottom of the slave ship? What does that sound evolve into? You know, in a time where maybe your olfactory system is shut down, maybe, you know, the first track is "When There Is No Sun," where there is no sun to light the way. You know, you're in darkness. The touch that you're getting is not touch that you want. You know, you're pinned up with a bunch of people in captivity. And how do you survive that? And what does it sound like to listen to the sound of 1,000 whales while you're in the worst position any human could be in? And how does the epigenetic listening of that experience carry forward? Like, it's in me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just recognizing that, you know, continue to have access to that memory.
Yeah. So it's almost this sort of like inherited aural memory.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And somatic too, you know, but yeah, you know, it's a synesthetic experience for sure.
So I mean, that sort of ties into a little bit my next question, where I basically wanted to know, where you say in your liner notes, "That is where my deep listening begins." It sounds like a little bit you're listening to the kind of aural and somatic experiences that are already sort of like built into your DNA a little bit. Is that an accurate, like, is it almost absolutely like listening inward and like, I guess, reflection, for lack of a better word?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I took the deep listening intensive one, you know, via Paulina Oliveros' People. So, you know, the Deep Listening Institute course, intensive one. And deep listening has three sections. It's like, it's movement, it's listening, and it's dreams. So a lot of those practices back in, I want to say, spring 2022 really started to helped me just bring some ideas together, because the focus of looking at your dreams and asking questions about, it's synesthetic questions about the sound of your future and the sound of your past, you know, can really, they've just helped unlock maybe a knowing, maybe an understanding of why I make the kind of sounds that I make.
Yeah. So it's like sound is like an entry point to your own like identity and trajectory, absolutely. Maybe. Yeah,
absolutely.
I like that.
Yeah, and a metaphor for speaking about the world, you know, as well.
Yeah, absolutely. In setting out to record Breathing with Each Ear, what was your process in mapping it out? Or, I mean, how much of a process was there? Was it a pretty free improvisation that you kind of then found structure in later? Or did you have kind of a vague structure in mind ahead of time and then kind of hit the highlights of that?
Yeah, so what I did was working with some of the tracks. I'm working with a kalimba that is in a specific scale.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm basing drone sounds around those notes. But a lot of the tracks are, most of the tracks start with me bowing a xylophone, Bode Bell's credit, and then playing with what I create in the sort of random delay granulation systems that I have, and interacting with those bell sounds with the wind instruments that are on the project.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and basically it was, you know, basically I'm recording or processing the sound through two different stereo pathways. You know, there's gear that has names, but you know, people might not want to know.
As far into the weeds as you want or don't want to. It's totally up to you.
Yeah. Two parallel stereo setups of random and prime number delays.
Cool. I was wondering if at all you were, so the instruments you used were Bode Bells, two different saxes, kalimba, you said xylophone as well.
Yeah, xylophone is the Bode Bells.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. So sorry. Was there any, I say imagery, knowing that like, it's like the liner notes that you've provided have some very specific imagery, but at the same time, we're dealing with this concept of relying on sound, being sort of deprived of certain senses. So the idea of having imagery at the same time is, it seems a little bit strange to say, but do you feel like there were specific instruments that were maybe tied to specific either images or concepts for you as you were kind of making your way through this?
Yeah. I think the Bode Bells, you know, pitching up or down can sound like whales. And you can't deny the environmental harm of capitalism over the last 500 years, wiping out the sound of the ocean. You know, a lot of the horn sounds I'm playing with, whether it's condensation or actual water, maybe saliva. I'm playing with the water sounds that I can. So, and that relationship is like water and the reed and that metal. And when you think about a boat, there's a lot of there's especially a transatlantic slave ship. There's a lot of wood. There's a lot of metal. There's a lot of water and a lot of air. And I try to use the vibe that those materials can absorb and emit to tell that story. Yeah, it's invisible stuff.
Yeah, I hear you. No, that makes sense to me. In these pieces, it feels like sort of a gradual process over a long, I mean, within the pieces themselves and then over the course of the three as well. Feels like a gradual process with not a lot of sudden changes. And to me, that gives me sort of a feeling of like vastness, and it's possible that that's somewhat, that that's influenced by my having read the liner notes as well. But it does, I don't know, that's the feeling that I get, is sort of vastness and distance. And I feel like it's sort of easy to lose your sense of time a little bit, just like, oh, how long have I been here listening to this? And I was wondering if you, the word that came to me was unmoored. And I was wondering if you feel like this music is meant to make the listener feel somewhat unmoored and untethered.
Yeah, what was that word again? Un.
Unmoored, like
You
if you
said
like
un.
moored, MOORED.
For sure. But like being tethered is for the gravitational pull of the Earth.
Right.
Floating at the bottom of a ship for 3 months is definitely a precarious position, but so is seemingly the idea that we might just become a part of the light and sound that exists in the universe when we're done on Earth. And so, in a sense, my sound is also trying to have people rest assured that they'll be held in that sound, even if it seems like it's amorphous and not holding on to anything, but it is the thing that we become. And so it'll be all right. So while you're on Earth, you get a little taste of it, but one day you just might be
Wow.
it.
Okay. No, that makes sense. That's not what I was expecting at all, but that's interesting. I like that. Cool. Okay, so I had this question that it was like it was a not fully formed question in my head, and I was having a very hard time clearly putting it into words what I wanted to know. I think partly I think a lot of people have been feeling this way, at least a lot of, people I know, that I've been thinking a lot about how we as human beings embody what we think of as humanity, how we define humanity, how we recognize humanity in other people. The question that I have, and it's probably not exactly how I want to ask it, but do you think that the way we relate to sound and our capacity for deep listening is tied closely to our ability to connect to a sense of humanity, which I guess I mean either feeling a stronger sense of our own humanity or our ability to recognize humanity in others.
I think I know when I was growing up, American music on the radio and television and in the awards was extremely segregated. And I'm 44 years old, and I tell people 20 years younger than me, and they can't believe it. You know, the first time I heard black and white music on the same radio station was probably like in the early 2000s during some like college open forum situation. And I think, as you know, we in America have something called world music, you know, like there's an other, like, this is one of the newest countries on earth, and we separate ourselves by us and them.
Yeah.
You know, we have urban music categories. We have race records. So, yeah, I mean, you know, you can see like a suburban fear in suburban kids listening to urban music, like, throughout the decades. But I think you can also see like these attempts to like unify, to come up with like a unified sound theory. You know, I just came back from the Columbia Experimental Music Festival. You know, it's run by all mostly young white guys in their like late 20s, early 30s, mid 30s. You know, but they've got everybody from like Sumac, this like heavy dark metal band, to Rome Streets, who's like, you know, basically a crack rapper from New York. I played it. You know, you got ambient music, you've got, you know, folk stuff. You know, I think there's, you know, sound, we've just like started seeing sound in a waveform, you know, in like the late 90s, mid 90s, maybe on a computer. I think it's really new when you look at acoustic ecology and just what people think about sound. You know, it's a very new study in the human mind. And I think as we advance in it, we'll start to see how we've segregated ourselves with sound, but how we can also unify ourselves with sound. You know, I saw the Sun Ra Orchestra Sunday night, last night, like, and, you know, amazing. And Sun Ra talks about, you know, taking people, especially black people, from the earth, you know. That's just a tangent. Everybody should check out Sun Ra and come up with your own stories. You know, I think as you know, like the Big Ears Festival, as ears get bigger and more accepting, because that's what a lot of musicians are doing internationally. You know, it's like, if we can cross borders and make music with each other, then maybe governments can talk to each other. Maybe at least just families can know each other. But you know, it's the people of the world are generally kind to each other. It's after they've been propagandized to somebody's motives, is, you know, is where we start to get lost on how we should treat each other.
Yeah.
So living in Nashville, I think it's great, because I've seen, like, you know, everybody thinks it's about country music, but it's nice to see like a group of people from like their early 20s to their mid 40s like hold up a scene that, where you could see like women led bands, rock, free jazz, noise, punk, EDM, ambient stuff, like sharing bills often and mixing bands. There's, you know, more, we're getting there. People are trying.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you want somebody who's going to listen to your tape something that you feel like you want them to think about as you're, I mean, obviously they should read the liner notes, but like anything that you want people to think about or know as they're listening to your tape?
I think they should think about putting the tape on for their friends or having me come out and thinking about how we can present this idea of sound in a way that gets people thinking empathetically about the horrible experiences of other humans. You know, we all in our gene lines have experienced trauma, whether you're from the oppressed or the oppressor. And so I think we as people, just creative people, people who have access to people with ears, need to just start telling stories that open up this empathy portal so that we can stop running in circles. So,
yeah, absolutely.
That's
good,
it.
Good food for thought on any day of the week.
Yeah. World liberation. Let's go.
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I know it's absolutely not easy to do it when you're driving a car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congrats on a great tape.